بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. ونبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لقنوا موتاكم لا إله إلا الله. رواه مسلم. This hadith, the importance of having this desire and ensuring that a person who is in what we call sakarat, or in the last stages of life, should leave the world reciting the hadith, reciting the kalima la ilaha illallah. Those that are present, associated with him, what they should do to try to ensure this. Allah Ta'ala has given us one, call it a gradient or mayayar, a medium by which one can judge what is the preparation that a person is making for maut. Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: kama tahyaun tamutun. As the life is lived, the maut and death will be according. It's very easy for a person to say that I want to leave this world reciting the kalima. But what are the efforts and the attempts that we are making in that direction? As the life is lived, according to the attempt and the effort that a person makes. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the Jews in the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. That if you claim to be the friends of Allah Ta'ala, and you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you claim to be on that way of life which is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, then desire maut, desire death, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They will never look forward to maut and death. They will never desire it because of what they have sent ahead. So to say, I want to leave the world with la ilaha illallah, that is very easy. But what is the effort that we are making? What is the type of life that we are leading? I remember a few years ago, actually quite some time back, maybe 15, 20 years ago, it was the month of Ramadan, our Jamaat was in Johannesburg. Late one night, we went to the Markaz Baytul Nur, we entered. There was one brother very effusively, great, overjoyed, greeted me. Then he reminded me he had been in Jamaat with me maybe 15, 20 years earlier in 1995 in Jordan. He was an Arab brother who was doing a specialist degree in America. So I asked him, obviously caught up a bit with him, that where are you now? So he said, I'm living currently in Qatar. Next morning after Fajr, just happened to be his bayan. And this brother was no orator by any stretch of the imagination. He had slight luknat, in other words, used to stutter, spoke very softly. And Ramadan, nights are very short, Taraweeh, Sehri, and then bayan after Fajr for those that are in Jamaat. So, illa mashallah, normally, especially if it's somebody who is soft-spoken, the majma that is listening to the bayan after Fajr would be bain and nomi wal yaqza. Most of them will be half asleep, won't even be listening properly. But the subject matter that he chose to talk about, this is almost 20 years ago. Not 20 years ago, this is sometime at least 10 years ago. Yet, find that every person in that majma was listening to him with rapt attention, almost as if the hair on the body was standing. And what was the subject matter? It was this, that he said that when I migrated from Syria to Qatar, I was a rheumatologist, or what we call a kidney expert, or kidney specialist. But it was the rule of the hospital that I started working in, that you, regardless of your specialization, you have to spend 1 year in the mortality department. In other words, the sorry, not in the mortality department, in the emergency trauma section of the hospital, where there'll be obviously emergency trauma is accident victims, people that come out of an emergency, so the mortality rate is very high. So he said, in that year, I expected many people, I would see, witness their mort and their death. They would pass away in front of me, which is inevitable. Any trauma or emergency section in a busy hospital, accident victims, etc. So he said this, I had heard this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously being an Arab, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al jannah, that person whose last words are la ilaha illallah will enter jannah. And then obviously we find in this hadith talqeenul muhtadar, that that person who is in the last gasp of life, to make talqeen, to recite the kalima in front of them. As we see this hadith, laqinu mawtakum la ilaha illallah, in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, it is mentioned with this addition, that laqinu mawtakum la ilaha illallah fa innahu laysa min muslimin yaquluha indal maut illa najjathu, that no Muslim will recite la ilaha illallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make talqeen of la ilaha illallah to those who are about to pass away, because no Muslim will recite la ilaha illallah at the time of death except that it will bring about his salvation. This hadith, the one in this chapter that Imam Nawawi mentioned first, the riwayat of Muaz bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al jannah, Rasulullah said the man will enter into jannah. Another hadith, another riwayat, it comes, harramahullahu ala nar, Allah will make his body haram upon Jahannam. They are those fortunate ones amongst us. Like I mentioned this a few times now already, that one is to speak about it or to have this hope and anticipation. But what is the preparation that we are making? What is the direction of the life? Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, citing the Jews as an example, they will never desire death. Why? They haven't prepared. The whole life is involved in the love of dunya, so you won't desire death. What have you sent ahead? It's mentioned about Imam Abu Zur'a, rahimahullah, great muhaddith, tahdith bin ni'mah, in other words, not out of fakhr and pride, he wasn't boasting, but by way of mentioning Allah Ta'ala's favor upon him, he used to tell his students that, I can recite 100,000 hadith from memory like you people read Surah Ikhlas. The effort that it takes you all to say Kul Allahu Ahad, shortest, one of the shortest surahs in the Quran. Allah has blessed me with a memory. 100,000 ahadith from by heart. It's mentioned about Imam Abu Zur'a. This is a classical example. Kama tahyoun tamutun. How the life was lived, Allah will give the maut accordingly. This is a person whose whole life was devoted to the service of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned when he was in ihtidar, in the last gasp of life, unconscious, his students, fellow muhaddithin, were around him. Muhammad bin Salima, Abu Hatim, Mundir bin Shadan, rahimullah, etc. So they also wanted to make talqeen of la ilaha illallah. But the shan of the muhaddithin was different. So they devised this plan. They said they'll mention the sanad of the hadith, which refers to reciting la ilaha illallah at the time of death. So Muhammad bin Salima began haddathani al-dahaq an Abdul Hamid bin Ja'far and Salih bin Abi Ghareeb, and he stopped. Then another student, Abu Hatim, mentioned his chain of the same hadith. Haddathani Bundar an Abi Asim and Abdul Hamid bin Ja'far, and he stopped. Imam Abu Zur'a, these words are falling on his ears whilst he's in a state, he's unconscious. And in that condition, or semi-consciousness, the words falling on his ears, such is the effect of it, that on his own, in that condition, he mentions his chain of the hadith. Haddathani Bundar an Abi Asim an Abdul Hamid bin Ja'far an Salih bin Abi Ghareeb an Kathir bin Murra an Al-Hadrami an Mu'adh ibn Jabal anin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man kana akhiru kalamihi La ilaha illallah, dakhal al jannah. He says the hadith and passes away. So this is kama tahyoon tamutun, as the life is lived. So in any case, coming back to what that brother was mentioning, he says that trauma section of the hospital, I made talqeen of La ilaha illallah. Qatar, he said, was a Muslim country. More than 95% Muslim. Mortality rate will be high. So he asked the majma, he said, in that 1 year sojourn in that section of the hospital, 100 people passed away, Muslims passed away in front of me. How many of them recited kalima? 50, 60, 70, 80, 20, 30. Then he said, not one. Not one out of 100 people that passed away, ostensibly Muslims. He said, I began having sleepless nights, that Ya Allah, what has happened? Such is the love and immersement of dunya in the ummah today. And then he said, I began asking myself this question. In fact, he mentioned, he said that I became so worried, I was almost depressed. And he says, right in the end, the last few days of the 1 year remain, and one person came in and read the kalima and passed away. So he said, from that time I asked myself this question every day, that my ambitions in life, the effort that I am making, the sacrifice I am doing for deen, my goals and my aspirations, my ambitions, are they conducive to make me amongst the one that will recite kalima at the time of death, or are they conducive to make me amongst the 99 who, despite talqeen, didn't recite the kalima, passing away? So this is one is the virtue, the fadilat. One is Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, laqinu mawtakum, make talqeen of la ilaha illallah. But more importantly, the desire, the dua for what we call husn khatima, a good maut and death. More important than that is what is the effort that we are making. What is the environment that we are in? La ilaha illallah, how much of dawat of la ilaha illallah we're giving? La ilaha illallah, how much of effort of la ilaha illallah we're making? Allah Ta'ala's promise is there. Make the correct effort, obviously, it will not go in vain. Like your stuff is.